Blog Talk Radio.
Do we garner that devotion? By study, intense study, intense investigatory study. You know, Cartrell, my fellow host, once said something about his martial arts class. And he said the fact that he came in his first few days, he didn't think he could master that. Of course, the time, the repetition and redundancy, he became quite proficient. And the same thing applies with our studies. Some of you come in on these studies, you don't think you could master it. Then you certainly can't, not through your lifetime. But you can become quite proficient, unlike some of us. Some of us hear one side of the story, we think we know it all. Sometimes some of us read one thing one time, and we think we become the master of our reading. It takes a lifetime, then more, to become masters and proficient at your studies so you can answer a question, so you can help motivate, encourage, and put people in the right direction. See, we have become a people who are stuck on feelings. Oh, it feels right to me. It must be right. Not study, but feelings. Feelings won't get you very far. But proficient, intense, investigatory studies will get you far in life. So, yes, we need devotion by all looks of it. 221,000 people have died because of a lack of proficiency on the count of one man. What do we say to you on the Real Talk for Real People Investigatory Intense Study Show? You need these studies. You need these studies far much more than you think you know. And you need devotion, not to a political party, not to a so-called charismatic leader, but you need these studies to know the who, what, when, where, and or how, as to who your God is, what he requires of you, how he requires you to interact with him and to your brothers and sisters in other nations. See, don't just hear something and come to some false conclusion. Oh, I know it all. Somebody down the street told me. I didn't read it, but somebody told me, and I think that's it. It feels good to me. It feels all right. No, feeling is not going to get you far. You need to know, and you need to become proficient in your studies. So that's why these studies are very urgently needed by all of us. Sometimes, some of you may feel, oh, man, y'all too serious. Y'all too serious. We just want to have fun. That's what we feel. As I said, feelings won't get you far. And having fun will never get you far. You need to become serious. Just look at the world about us. Men are killing each other. They're killing our women folk. They're killing our children. Our education is piss poor. Our health care is in tatters. Our spiritual life are in total disarray, and we are totally confused about everything. Yet, we refuse to pick up the book. We refuse to do intense investigatory study, so we are left to wallow in our misery. Woe be unto us. And also, the Real Talk for Real People show would like to extend its condolences, sincerest condolences, for those affected in this Western Hemisphere, not only in this Western Hemisphere, but universally speaking, that has been touched by this pandemic. You need these studies also. So, before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend on, my fellow host, Cartrell from New York City. I'm sure he has a little chitter-chatter to provide with you before we get in our studies. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot, brother. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. Thank you very much.
You know, as you were speaking, my mind kept wandering back to Job.
Right.
Because his friends, they were pretty wise. And the
right.
counsel they was giving him was pretty much on point.
Right.
Because they were wise and intelligent and educated men.
Right.
And what they perceived with their eyes wasn't really accurate, was it?
It certainly wasn't, Kadja. They were off the mark entirely. Totally off point.
Even though they were wise men, they were giving him sound counsel. Whatever you did, Job, you need to repent and go to Yah and ask him for forgiveness. They was right and all that.
But exactly.
The fact that they was trying to condemn him because he wasn't telling what he did.
Right.
Even though he didn't do anything at all. It means
exactly.
they didn't study enough.
Right.
Well, you know, you're right. But then there's times when Yah will test you.
Exactly.
You ain't did nothing wrong. And where you at ain't no fault of your own.
Exactly.
The test is, are you going to remain faithful and devoted, beauty devotion, to the Most High Yah, no matter what condition you find yourself under?
Exactly.
That's the important lesson about Job. And
exactly.
It just rang, you know, resonant. Why is the
right.
book of Job in there? He wasn't an Israelite, but he was a man that pursued righteousness and was blessed by Yah and was tested by Yah. And we could see through his tests that a lot of things. First of
exactly.
all, he wasn't observing the laws of Moses. He knew that there was good and evil in the earth. And then if
exactly.
he acted evil, there was consequences to pay. Although he didn't do any evil,
right.
the Most High put him through it. But
exactly.
Even though he went through what he went through, he remained loyal and faithful and dedicated and devoted, like we should, to the Most High Yah.
Truth be told, Cartrell. Truth be told. And that's the lesson we're trying to get across to you, as my brother and friend adequately explained to you. We're not trying to get you to lack us. You never got to lack either one of us. But we're trying to get you to be devoted and to be laser-focused on your Creator and to exercise that by making the application in your studies and becoming proficient in your studies. As I said, we have been falsely taught to rely on feelings. Yam Suf, I feel that that's right. No, no, no. Your feelings has no decision making in the matter. It's what you know. You should become so proficient in these studies, in these lifelong studies, that you become masters. And even then, you still find yourself to be a student. As Cartrell and I, we don't think we're masters. We're master students, as you should be. Be humble. Because let me give you a case in point. Cartrell, I could go into a room one day and come right out of that room. And I can say, I know everything in that room. I go in another day, I miss something. I go in another, I miss that too. So that's the whole objectives of these studies. Because yesterday you may have missed something. Your eyes weren't open to that. And today you saw something because your eyes are open to it. So never become lackadaisical in your approach to the Most High and think you got it all, think you know it all, because you will soon find out. As those men who came to castigate Job found out, they didn't have it all. They didn't have it all. And this is a lifelong quest, my brothers and sisters. You won't get a diploma. You will get crossed over, transferred by the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you won't get a diploma. So don't look for a diploma. The Real Talk for Real People Intense Investigatory Show, don't offer diplomas. We offer fundamental studies so you can understand. And then you can be able to relay what you understand to others. Not what somebody told you, not what you feel, but what the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants you to know by your intense investigatory studies of his word. So that being said, Cartrell and fellow students, let's get into the word of the Most High.
I just wanted to say one more thing before you
go
into your study.
Go ahead.
Add on to what you're saying.
Okay.
The purpose of our study, the intense investigation and research of the word of Yah, is to be redeemed by Yah and to find our way to what our people call salvation. And the more we study it, Yah has shown us the path to redemption and salvation. And my mother, Most High bless her soul.
Most High bless her.
Says, always listen to the wisdom of your mother and your father. And there's words of wisdom that my mother gave me that always stick with me. She said, Katria, you can learn something from everybody. Like, what you talking about, Ima? She said, you can learn what to do and what not to do. And the fact that Yah left a record of what our fathers did, our ancient fathers did, and what they didn't do, and how they connected with him, and how they didn't connect with him, we can learn from what people do and what people don't do.
Yo,
so you ain't got to experience everything. You can learn from other people. So the Most High left us valuable treasures and lessons in his dealings with our fathers in ancient times. And they didn't really handle, you know, Yah's test too well, most of them.
Exactly.
But we can learn from how they didn't learn the right way.
Okay. You're certainly right, Cartrell. And let's get started in our open book test, as Cartrell always alludes to. This open book test. So if you don't mind, brothers and sisters and fellow students, if you turn to the 39th chapter of Bereshit, no, not Genesis, Bereshit, the first book. And we'll get started in these studies, okay? May the Most High bless you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by these studies, and most importantly, that you apply these studies to your life so you can see the changes that comes forth from these studies. So if you got there, I will begin in the reading. Now, we realize that it wasn't 39. That was about talking about part of my apologies, 40. Now, part of her wife had some liking on him, had him set up because he wouldn't do the nasty with her, and had him thrown in prison. The man was entirely innocent of any wrongdoing. As Cartrell alluded to yesterday, he didn't have the Ten Commandments, but he knew right from wrong. He knew evil from goodness. He knew it was highly inappropriate for him to have a relationship with that man's wife, but she cared less. So let's go into chapter 40, okay?
And even before Joseph, we see that the Philistine king didn't want to sleep with Abraham's wife. He's like, why are you telling me she was your sister when you knew she was your wife?
They
and Pharaoh,
that.
King of
right.
Egypt,
they
why are you telling me she was your sister when you knew she was your wife? I could have slept with her, and you would have brought this evil on our people. So Pharaoh knew he didn't have the laws of Moses. The king of the Philistines, he didn't have the laws of Moses, but adultery is adultery is adultery is adultery.
no matter where in our house or what century. All right, let's get started. Now, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Mesera, they call it Egypt, but that's, as Cartrell alluded to yesterday, Egypt is the Egyptian name. Mesera is the name that these people went under. Gave offense to the Lord, the king of Mesera. Pharaoh was angry with his two couriers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. He put them in custody in the house of the chief steward where Joseph was, in the same prison house where Joseph was confined. And Joseph didn't get, you know what I like about Joseph Carter? Joseph didn't get sour. He didn't get bitter. He just did the best he could what he had under the circumstances and trusted in the Most High. The chief steward had assigned Joseph to them to take care of these two cupbearers, and he attended them. And when they had been in custody for some time, both of them, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Mesera, was confined in the prison, dreamed a dream the same night. Each his own dream, and each dream with its own meaning. Joseph came to them in the morning. He saw that they were distraught. See, here's what it tells you about Joseph. He was cognizant of everything around him. He wasn't just walking around hokey dory, didn't see what was going on him. He even watched people. And he even cared about people, even though they weren't Hebrews. He didn't care about none of that. He said these folk had problems. And he noticed it. He noticed they were distraught. They were upset. He asked Pharaoh's couriers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, saying, why do you appear downcast today? Why do you feel upset? And they said to him, we had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. So Joseph said to them, surely Yah can interpret. He didn't take the position of being presumptuous, said I can, like some of us do. He said, surely Yah can interpret. Tell me your dreams. Then the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, in my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine were three branches. It had barely budded when out of his blossom and his clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said to him, this is your interpretation from Yah. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will pardon you and restore you to your post. You will place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, as was your custom formerly, when you were his cupbearer. But think of me when all is well with you again, and do me the kindness of mentioning me to the Pharaoh. And the cupbearer brings forth his dream. So, but he said, so as to free me from this place. For in truth, I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. You know, I liked about it. He didn't try to hide who he was. He didn't try to assume somebody's identity. He didn't try to pretend who he was not. He didn't try to become white when he was black, but he looked white. He wasn't trying to pretend. He didn't say I'm a messerite. He kept it real. He didn't hide his identity. He said I was kidnapped, but he didn't say who was kidnapped by his brother. But we're gonna go on in our study. We're gonna find that out later on. I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and nor have I done anything here that they should have put me in this dungeon. I ain't did nothing here to Potiphar's wife. She lied on me, tried to do the nasty. But when the chief baker saw how favorably he had interpreted, he said to Joseph, in my dream, similarly, there were three open baskets on my head. And the uppermost basket were all kinds of food for Pharaoh that a baker prepares. And the birds were eating it out of the basket above my head. Joseph kept it real. He didn't sugarcoat anything. He didn't get ugly about it. He just told it like it is. And he said, this is your interpretation from Yah. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and impale it upon a pole. And the birds will pick off your flesh. On the third day, his birthday, Pharaoh made a banquet for all of his officials. And he singled out the chief cupbearer and the chief baker from among his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cup in the Pharaoh's hand. That was a very, very honorable and very solemn position, because that cupbearer, if the Pharaoh got poisoned, well, you know what happened. So that was a very, very important position. But the chief baker, he impaled, as Joseph had interpreted to them from Yah. Yet the chief cupbearer did not think of Joseph. He forgot him. He forgot the good deed. As I said, no good deed go unreturned. But as you will see further in our studies, the Most High made the circumstances synchronize that I can't get before the story. I can't put the cart before the horse. You got to wait. Stay tuned tomorrow. Cartrell, what say you, my brother and friend? Godre, you got your mic off?
Yes. You could say that Joseph is in maturity, because
right,
he's connected with the Most High than ever before. he had dreams that he didn't really know what the dreams meant, which is why he told his brothers and his fathers. But now that he's got some experience under his belt and he relies more and more on Yah, Yah is dealing with him like he dealt with Daniel. He's giving interpretations of what these dreams are. Uh-huh. And we can learn a lesson that the Most High sends messages through dreams. And the fact that he was able to interpret the dream of both the butler and the cupbearer shows that the Most High was with him. We can see that the cupbearer had a very important role. Like, which prophet was it that was a cupbearer? Was it Nehemiah?
I believe it was, if memory serves me correctly, Katri, I believe it was Nehemiah. It was a cupbearer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the cupbearer, and the king's like, where you going? How long are you going to be? When you coming back?
Well, he didn't touch nobody with what he draw, except Nehemiah.
Right.
So, I mean, man, what am I going to do now? You going? I don't trust folk like that. You know, I trust you. You know, so apparently the king of Masariah had great trust in his cupbearer. That's why he put him back in position. Because that's the very...
You wonder what the baker did.
I don't know, man.
Pharaoh, king of Mizraim, take his head off.
Yeah.
He must have did something.
He did something wrong. Yeah, chief baker.
Maybe he made some cake that was hard as a rock. And he sat down on it and he lost his tooth.
I would hate to be his baker. The next big on the job come in. They said, look here, they call you and we heard about your batteries and you cook good food in Mazarin. Look here, the other baker have lost his position and we want you to take that position. He said, what happened to the other baker? Look outside the window.
He lost his head.
He went in over his head. He lost his head over the cooking. All
right,
y'all.
And it's funny. It's funny because when Joseph breaks the dreams down, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like, I'm going to bring you good news first. You, cupbearer, your dream means it's 3 days. In 3 days, the king going to restore you. That's the good news. And you're going to be pouring drinks in the king's hand.
Right.
Bad news, however, you, Mr. Baker.
You the good news first or the bad news?
Most High about the Pharaoh about to lift your head in 3 days.
So you want to hear the good news first or the bad news?
So you can imagine the last 3 days for the baker. He's like,
man,
wow.
72 hours of pure misery.
I should have never told that brother my dream.
Something you better left unsaid. You know, now I got to worry before the man chop my head off. But you know,
you can imagine. He like looking at Joseph twisted. What are you talking about? I'm going to get my head lifted. That's the bad news, bro. I hate to bring it to you.
But hey, man, this is, I can't sugarcoat it now. I got to tell it like the Most High told me now. Take it up with y'all now. Don't take it up with me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just interpreting. Okay?
Okay. So I'm trying to figure out what that baker did. That his head taken off, son. What you do? What you bake the king that he ain't like?
I don't know. Whatever it was, the king didn't like it. Let's just say that.
Straight up.
And maybe the king had a banquet or something, and this guy's put all these fineries on the table for all of his guests. Foreign dignitaries and whatnot, because you know, Jesus, Mesrae was a hot spot, so I'm pretty sure he had foreign dignitaries. And his food come out with this food and bad. Everybody spit the food out. What? No, what is this? And they embarrass the Pharaoh.
Who baked this? What's his name? Bring him here.
Hey, taste that. No, taste that. Taste it right now.
Eat it all. Eat all of it.
And
then throw him in the dungeon.
But you know,
but check it. They was living high class. Pharaoh got a butler.
Yeah.
He got a baker. They was living high class, man.
Yeah. They were living like they lie in this Western Hemisphere, like they were living. The jungles of Africa. The dark jungles of Africa. You know, they wouldn't live in
that's
like
how they
that.
Try to portray us. Like, we running around the jungle trying to cook white people in pots and shrink them or eat them like we cannibals.
Exactly, man. They was eating high on the hog, bro.
What? And
But you know,
a butler and a baker.
Yeah, but look here. But you know, they try to sugarcoat us. They try to paint us. They try to paint us ignorant old savages, the dark of Africa. You know how they do it, brother.
The dark continent.
The dark continent of Africa. You know, and they hadn't stopped that. They hadn't stopped that miseducation yet, brother. That's why it's an imperative that we get educated. Because when the Most High educate us about him, he gives you some insight on other nations too and how they were faring. And certainly, as I said, Mezarine was a very important power at that time. And I assure you, other dignitaries from other countries were coming just like they do in this Western Hemisphere here. So be assured of the fact, ignorance was something that was not very common there. And they had their gods. They had about 2,000. They had about 2,000 gods. But, they weren't ignorant, but they had about 2,000 gods. They had a god for this. They had a god to walk. They had a god to get embalmed. They had a god for the sun. They had a god for everything. And then, you know, we hadn't changed that much country. It's in our DNA. That's why we love this country. They got a god for everything in this country. They got the Baptists, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists. They got the Roman Catholic. That's why some of us just love this country. It's just like old Mezarine. It brings back good old days.
Mm-hmm. But, too, I'm going to tell you about Mizraim.
Mizraim. Mm-hmm.
Mizraim.
Uh-huh.
They still digging up Mizraim today. That's how powerful Mizraim is was.
Exactly. But,
it's an effrontery. It's an abomination. How are you digging up these ancient kings? Don't they say rest in peace? You wouldn't want me digging up George Washington or Hamilton's graves and putting them in a museum talking about they mummified.
Paul Revere. Right. They didn't dug up Paul Revere. For real? Yeah, them heroes dug up Paul Revere.
Dug up Paul Revere.
Yeah.
And his horse. Paul Revere and his freaking horse.
Damn, he rooted and dug up the horse too. Oh Lord!
Imagine that.
Imagine
so y'all digging up all these kings of Egypt,
right?
Not letting them rest in peace. But why would they do that? Because those people are not white people. They don't go into Europe and dig up the grave of King Henry, King George.
Right.
King James, they don't dig up their graves, but you going into Egypt, you know it's a black, which y'all call a Hermetic nation, and y'all got license because you're an archaeologist to dig up people's graves. Who does
that? Well, you know, they'll go to
China. They call that skullduggery.
If China let them, they'll do it in China, but here's why they stopped digging up folks in China. They found that they look remotely like us in ancient culture. Shemitic. So I think that's
it ain't just China. When they went into Iran and Iraq, what happened? ISIS started blowing up those museums. You know why? Because the Babylonians and the Assyrians look like me and you.
Exactly.
And although y'all blew them up, they're still on the internet. Yeah. We got them on the internet.
Right.
You look them up.
Right. Why would that be an affront to y'all unless you had something to hide? So, I mean, and don't forget old dear Napoleon. He got so insulted by the Sphinx, that damn Hamite nose. Cannons! Do some talking.
And he didn't stop at the Sphinx. If you look at any of the statues from ancient Egypt, all the noses are blown off.
Exactly.
All the noses. Why just the noses blown off? What happens to the ear and the chin and the eye?
Yeah.
How come that's not off the statue? Them only the nose. That's the weakest part of the statue. Nose tell who's who. Ain't nobody on earth got noses broad like us.
Exactly. Couldn't have that, brother. Couldn't have that now. They couldn't have that now.
And still with them trying to do that, you could still see that these people have black people features. Their hair, their facial structure, the way their jawbone and the way they're built
the
physically.
Broad face and the cheekbones, the high cheekbones, the broad face, the afros, the dreadlocks. So, They couldn't get away.
And who were the Egyptians? They were Hamites from Mizraim, point blank. They ain't come from Japhet. They didn't come from Shem. They come from Ham. So what do Ham look like? You saying they black? Then stop trying to show the Egyptians as being white people. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
And Moses came, and they came. And you a brother. Okay, so
from Russia. Gog Magog from Russia. Are you playing Pharaoh? Are you kidding me?
Russian playing Pharaoh. Only in America. All right, y'all. Let's continue.
That's
on
like tonight. Denzel Washington playing Gorbachev.
That'd be funny. That'd be real funny, Contrail. Yeah, but he would have to get but if he's playing Gorbachev, he would have to get that tattoo upside his head, though.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. Go ball and put that tattoo upside his face. He's talking about he Gorbachev.
Yeah, or whatever.
You know what the Russian would say, nigga? Come on.
Please.
What? I'm trying to play a Russian, nigga?
Please. That's what the front does. Look at, turn to chapter 17 of Job. Job finna offer up a prayer of relief from these so-called fair-weather friends. And we got them. With friends like these, you don't need enemies. Give you a few seconds to get there. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to do some reading here, some study, some intense studies here. And Imahadora and Cartrell are going to come on right after this reading. They're going to do a little talky talk like we always do on this show. Everybody has a seat at the table because we're all part of a nation. We don't leave out the men, women, nor children. Everybody got to say so. And once that's done, Cartrell is going to provide another beautiful psalm for us. I believe they are he's reading from Aesop's reading psalms. King Dawood has ended his psalms, and now it's Aesop. He's providing psalms too. So, if you allow me, may the Most High bless you with this intense investigatory studies that we burned the midnight oil with. Let's get started, shall we? Chapter 17 of Job. And Job, tell it like it is too. He's just like Joseph in so many ways. He said, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not markers with me? Look at these three. Are not markers with me? And does not my eye dwell on that provocation? They're provoking me. Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Yah, that's who he's talking about. Who is he who will shake hands with me? Because I know these markers ain't. But I depend on you. For you have hidden their heart from understanding. Yah, you have hidden these men's heart from understanding. They don't even understand what they're talking about. They're talking loud and saying nothing.
Therefore, so who hides hearts from understanding?
Yah does. Just like he's done in the case. Just like he's done in the case of the fellow at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Case in point.
Just like he does with our people who try to criticize Yah's word because they're hearing it from our mouth. You're criticizing Yom Suf and Katriel, but we ain't speaking our own words.
Yeah.
Which means your hearts don't understand.
That's what it is. I ain't hit the heart. You ain't hit the heart. Yah has hidden their heart from understanding. Don't get mad at us. Therefore, you would not exalt them. You ain't going to exalt them. Because you've hidden understanding from their hearts. He who speaks flattery to his friends, they speak in flattery to their friends. They give a lip service. Even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people. I have become one in whose face men spit. They were
that's our nation.
Yeah.
Byword and people that get spit in their face.
Yeah. And they spit, they obviously must have literally spitting on Job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they spit in my face. Oh, he did something wrong. We don't know what he did, and he ain't going to confess that he did something, but we know. Somebody told me down the street he did something. Spit on him. Look at it. Boils at the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He didn't lost his children. He didn't lost his, all his flocks and cattle and everything. He must have done something wrong. We don't know what he did. But he won't even make a confession and curse Yah and that. That's how we do.
Mm-hmm. Imagine somebody spitting in your face, Doc.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what, bro. You ever had a boil? I've had a boil. I've had one under my arm, like I told y'all. And the doctor was just digging like he digging for gold. I had to grab his arm with his scalpel. I said, hold on. And the nurse grabbed my hand. Hold on, let the doctor. No, I said, no, let the doctor stop digging. He said, well, Mr. Killaroo, you know, my slave name. He said, I got to get the core out in order for it to heal. I said, well, you need to hurry up and get it out now. Because whatever medication you gave me ain't working. So imagine Job's trying to set up with boils on his feet. It would be excruciating. Wherever he turned would be excruciating. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That would be totally excruciating. I know that pain. Anybody had a boil know that pain. That's excruciating. So even if they spit on him, he couldn't do anything if he wanted to. And my eyes has also grown dim because of sorrow. And all my members are like shadows of what they used to be. Upright men are astonished at this because they don't really know what's going on. And the innocent stir himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold. Here's the important thing. If you don't learn nothing tonight, I don't care what folks say about you. I don't care how the situation look. I don't care your mama, daddy, sister, brother, anybody else, or your so-called fair weather friends say you done something wrong. You know you hadn't did anything wrong. And you know you've been right before y'all's eyes. Here's what you do. Yet the righteous, if you don't learn anything, learn this, will hold to his way. And he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. You're going to hold on to y'all. And eventually, you're going to become stronger and stronger. That's an antidote. That's a solution. Don't let those people put you down. Don't let those people say, oh, y'all soofing that Cartrell. They'll go on that Real Talk, Real People show. They ain't talking about doing no balance support. They ain't talking about mistreating folk. They ain't talking about killing folk. They just talking about y'all stuff. Well, that's what you should be doing also.
So we can see here that Job is garnishing his internal strength. I'm going to stick with Yah, and I'm going to get stronger and stronger with all that he's going through. In his face, he's going through these boils. He done lost everything. But he knows within inside himself, as long as I hold on to Yah, I'm going to get stronger and stronger.
Eventually, a domino effect, a solution.
Then his friends ain't telling him that. Hold on to Yah, you're going to get stronger and stronger.
No, they ain't trying to put dirt on him. They looking for dirt on him. You know what I mean, Cartrell? They ain't looking for a solution. They looking to make him dirty. You got dirt on you. You need to expose yourself. Then once you expose yourself, you need to curse Yah and die. Because you crooked in a dog's hind leg, yo. You just ain't telling nobody. But we know, because we wise men. Wise in their own eyes. They certainly are. But
they could have gave him this counsel that he's given himself. Hold on to Yah, and I will get stronger and stronger.
But they weren't doing that, because their heart was hidden. The most
they wanted to see him fall.
Right. They wanted to see him fall. Bingo, Cartrell. You in the stuffed dog. Okay? Sometimes people want to see you fall. Sometimes people can't see you for who you are because the truth is hidden from them. But you know the truth, and you stand and stick with that truth. It ain't up to men. It ain't up to Yom Suf. It ain't up to Cartrell. You know what you did or didn't do, and you hold on to Yah. and you become stronger and stronger. A domino effect. That is a solution. You got to be clean now. You can't hold on when you're crooked in a dog's hind leg. Man. You got to hold on to y'all when you're right. But he says, please come back again, all of you. For I shall not find one wise man among you. He tell him, boy, Job's do fight back, don't he? He said, my days are past. Okay. I'm at the end. My purpose are broken off. Even the thoughts of my heart, they change the night into day. The light is near, they say, to the face of darkness. Yeah. I'm where y'all say I'm at. If I wait for the grave as my house, yeah, I'm there, like y'all said. If I make my bed in darkness, if I said to corruption, you are my father, I'm on a banana, one foot on a banana, and one in the graveyard. I'm there. And to the worm, you are my mother and my sister. He says, if my total reliance is just on a human aspect, if I'm just relying on this human frail body and the things I had and my children I had and the cattle and the sheep and the goats and the camels I had, if that's it's just all my life is and that's all that I'm relying on, then where is my hope? Because that is not my total reliance on the things I had. This body that has been reduced to being 1 foot on a banana and one in the graveyard.
And in this dialogue that he's giving us now, he's showing that he has no fear of death.
Exactly.
He's ready. I got to go to sleep. It's time for me to go to sleep. I did what I had to do. Right. My hands are clean. I trust in God.
Right.
So what y'all think is waiting for me?
Right. And then he said, I let the worm be my mother and sister. They're going to be your mother and sister too. The worm will eat all of them.
That's right.
But my total reliance is not in things. My total reliance is on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Righteousness. That's my total reliance. That's my assurance. And you would like to think, fellow students, that's your assurance. You should have that assurance. And he goes on to say in conclusion, as for my hope, who can see it? It's unseen. It's what I feel. It is part of my innate nature. It's part of who I am, my makeup. Not just this body, not just the things I had and the things I lost, but my innate nature.
So as Job is speaking, who do you think he's pleasing?
He ain't pleasing them men, his so-called fair-weather friend. If he's pleasing anybody,
he's pleasing the Most High.
He's pleasing Yah. Because Yah sees this man don't care. He cared about his children. He cared about his camels. He cared about his goats, his sheep. He cared about his good life with his wife.
All that he had.
So-called fair-weather friend. But we're reduced to everything. He is in total reliance on me. And that should be pleasing. And that should be part of your innate nature, fellow students.
And what he's doing, he's proving to the adversary who got hold of him that he's loyal and dedicated no matter what to the Most High.
No matter what. No matter if it's COVID-19 or anything else, Donald Trump. Or anything else, universal white race supremacy, or anything else, my total reliance, because the worm gonna be their mother and sister too. But I have hope.
So I just gotta drop this in there.
Okay.
Jacob had a fight with an angel, right?
Exactly.
That was a physical fight.
Exactly.
The angel threw Jacob's hip out of socket, right?
Exactly.
But Jacob held on all night. He's like, the angel's like, let me go. I got to go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. You laughing.
But you got to hold on. You got to hold on even when your hip out of joint.
So Job, he's not going through a spiritual fight with Satan or Lucifer. He's going through a spiritual fight.
Exactly.
And just like Jacob, he's fighting to the end. Even though it's a spiritual battle he's going through.
Exactly. And so
we see Jacob's battle in the physical, and we see Job's battle in the spiritual. Because he can't defeat Lucifer.
Right.
He can't overcome this power that got him in the grip, that took his sons. He has no power over this angel.
None whatsoever.
But he does have a connection with the Most High that he's keeping, that he values, that he treasures.
Exactly. And can't nobody see that hope as he said, but it's part of my innate nature.
That's that hope that he got.
That's my hope. And he finally, in conclusion, he says, when they go down to the gates of Sheol, you going to follow me to the gates of Sheol?
And Sheol is hell.
Yeah.
There is a hell down below. And what Curtis Mayfield still said, if there's a hell below,
we all going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, shall we have rest together in the dust? Okay, you so-called three fair-weather friends, are you going to escort me to the gates? Shall we rest together in the dust? Since y'all know everything? Since y'all got all the answers to everything? You say you're wise men and you're aged men. And some of you are older than my father. But yet you know what's in me. So I guess you're going to escort me to the gates of Sheol. And we're going to rest there together. Okay? Since y'all got all this sense. Y'all
That's the answer to the question.
Right.
Yeah, because we all going to wind up resting. And worms going to be eating us.
Exactly.
We all going there. So
exactly.
All that y'all saying, we all going to wind up in the same freaking place.
Exactly. All y'all trying to act the Lord over me. You're trying to act self-righteous that your dirt ain't like my dirt, but we all dirty. But I trust in the Most High, and my hands are clean. There's no violence in my hand, and I ain't trying to do nobody no harm. But in the fine analysis, you're going to escort me down there too, ain't you? And you're going to rest with me down there too. But what about you? What else you taking down there? See, I got hope that you can't even see. It's part of my innate nature that you can't take away from me. So you can talk about the grave all you want. But what you got? What you bring? I like that.
So
brother.
Check it. Check
it. Yeah.
Joe
like
was
that.
Living a good life, wasn't he?
Man, he was living high on. No, we can't use that. High on the lamb. Not on the hog. High on the lamb.
Yeah, Joe was living what? High on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Had mad friends around him, right?
Man, he had it going on, as we say. He was all that in a bag of chips, as we say.
And when he had it going on, was they coming out with this venom?
No, they were saying bad about it. But then when he fell on hard times, they got self-righteous then.
So what Joe went through was necessary because he had friends around him who really didn't have his interest at heart. Did they?
The truth come to the light, as we said. What's done in the dark will come to the light. And certainly in the case of Job, that is really what happened.
And you know what happens? When Yah tests you, he tests everybody around you too.
Exactly. And the truth will set you free, as they said.
So we're being tested, and everybody around us is being tested. Y'all got criticism for what we bringing forth? You being tested.
Take it over, like, Yah. Take it over, Yah. I didn't write it.
Neither did I.
You know what? I didn't write it. I'm just a megaphone. I'm just a megaphone. So don't take it up with Yum Su. Oh, that Yum Su, I can't stand him. He think everything funny. No, I don't think everything funny. Some of the most
they
serious.
They still listen every night to hear you laughing at everything, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. At least I did my job. When the Most High said, what did you do? I was on the Real Talk for Real People show with Coach Real.
But they can't stand you, but they listen every night, which tells you something.
Okay, that's all right. Hey, look here. I ain't in this for no ego trip. I ain't in this for ego run amok. I ain't in this for no statue. I ain't in this for no idol. I'm just in it because the Most High said that's what it should be. That's all I'm getting. That's my reward. I'm just like Job. That's my hope for what's there. They gonna walk to me. They gonna walk with me to the gates of Sheol. They gonna rest with me in the grave. What's their hope after that? What's their hope after that, Cartrell?
Woo-wee! That's the big question right there, huh? That's the big question right there.
All right, what's their hope? Mine.
Some people have everlasting life, and some people have everlasting abhorrence. How'd you live your life?
Exactly.
You have blood in your hands? Are your hands clean? Did you live a righteous life, an upright life, a life of compassion? Did you help the poor, the needy, the fatherless, and the widow? Did you praise God? Did you give exaltation to the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What did you do?
And my hope is in God. It's unseen. You can't see it. That's why you're trying to put dirt on me. But it's part of my innate nature, and you can't take it away from me. And the
did you love your brother as yourself?
Yep.
Did you love your brother as yourself?
I don't want to make trouble. No.
As a matter of fact, did you love yourself? Did you really love yourself?
That's what I'm saying.
Or were you really
are? Or do they hate anything that remotely looks like them?
Because if you hate yourself, you definitely can't love me.
Friends. They hate anything that looks like them because they hate themselves. So they do they have a self-hate transference?
We're trying to go through from transformation. I've seen people out here with blue hair, blonde hair, red hair, got nose dead, lips dead, butt dead.
I ain't doing nothing.
Who you're trying to be? Who you're trying to appeal to?
I ain't put no get the gray out or none of that. What you see is what you get. I ain't put no get the gray out or none of that, okay? What you see is what you get.
Did you hear that the Pope is sanctioning the LGBTQ and all the other alphabets? He's sanctioning them? No, I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. I'm wondering why he hadn't did it a long time ago.
There you go.
To take the alphabet crew into under his wings.
Yep.
I'm not surprised.
That's where he's at right now. Under the Pope's wings. LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Under the Pope's wings.
But I'm going to ask that Pope, like Job said, are you going to walk me to the gates of Sheol?
Oh, we're going to walk him to the gates of Sheol. He going through. We just going to stay at the gate.
What's his hope? His unseen hope we speak of, Cartrell. What do he hope? What is part of his innate nature?
He hoped that people will hear his latest edict and allow them to sleep with little boys.
Oh, that's right? Oh, okay. All right.
Because that's what they do.
They've been doing that for the longest, so ain't nothing new for
it. So he put his stamp of approval on it.
Yeah. He said, right? Get you a little boy. Make you happy. Men, boy love. These are perverted. Now, they living high on the hog, Cartrell.
And we following them. And ain't getting nothing for following them. What we getting?
No. Not Yum Soup. Not Yum Soup. My hope is unseen. It is a hope in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you don't see it, but it's there.
Well, the Pope said LGBTQ is good.
I don't care if the Pope mama said it. I ain't going. Okay?
The Pope said it, man.
Ooh, I'm scared. But not from what I'm reading. Okay? So I'm trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All that other stuff they're talking about, I'm not vaguely interested in the contrary. Okay?
Hey, I'm on that same boat you want.
Exactly. But Cartrell, let us bring our lovely Ima Hadura on. Let us have a chit-chat, and we're going to continue on our studies. Ima Hadura, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Ima. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom. May the Most High bless the both of you as well. May he bless all of Israel far and near. Hallelujah. May all of Israel far and near learn who the God is and exalt him. Praise him.
Every day.
Because he's given in the midst of our praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Worthy to be praised. They just came on the TV with breaking news. The FBI had to call an emergency meeting because Iran and Russia have hacked into the voting system And they said they got it all jacked up, but they're doing everything that they can to make sure that our voting remains sound and go forth with integrity. But they just want to let everybody know if you find anything wrong or whatever, to please report it to the FBI, because they found out that they just had a big hack.
Oh,
I don't vote, Ima, so I don't worry about things like that.
I know you don't vote, but I'm talking about all for all of Israel that's out there that running there to the white man to vote, and that's because they don't know their God. As a matter of fact, I just
Ima,
got chewed out.
Mm. Ima, I am not choosing my enemy to lead me, okay? I'm not voting for any one of my enemies to lead me. They have my best interests at heart. There's no
way. We are lost, you see, and therefore we can go out there and really put forth an effort encouraging our people to go out there and vote. But Isaiah, the 30th chapter, said the Almighty warned us, didn't he? I warned you all about running to Egypt for your help.
Exactly.
When there is no help. Egypt
exactly.
can't help you because they can't help themselves.
Bingo.
But I just put out there, do not vote, Deuteronomy 17:15.
Right.
Thou shalt in any wise set him king over you, whom Yah your Elohim shall choose. One from among your brethren shall you set king over you. Thou mayest
really?
Not set a stranger over you, which is not of your brother. And this is where our people head is. You,
if you posted that email, I know you got all kind of ugly names.
Yeah. You Facebook people are so fake. You take words out of context. I'm sure you have the wrong understanding of that scripture. It ain't got nothing to do with us voting. We're supposed to vote so that we can get things, make things better. If it wasn't for voting, what should we do? And my response was to turn back to your God.
It ain't done them much good in 400 years.
Haven't done nothing for them. Well, it has done a lot for them. It has steady pushed them to the back of the bus.
So, Ima, what is their interpretation of what you quoted? What is their interpretation of what you quoted? Because what you quoted speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm. Yah's word speaks for itself all through his word, but yet it's still,
absolutely.
I wonder why it always ends up with a but, you see.
But that's
but,
your
you
interpretation
know.
Of what he's saying. No, what did I miss?
That's what the word said.
He said, choose a king from amongst your brethren. A stranger shall not do what? Rule over your nation. No way. Oh, that don't mean we're not supposed to go out and vote. You're retarded. You respond to what y'all just said. You're retarded.
God damn. They have mental STD. They have mental STD.
They got a whole lot of mental going on, period.
But that's like the Most High sending Moses to Egypt and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Israelites talking about, we ain't going nowhere. Sticking with Pharaoh.
They're saying that today, Mo Ray. I just to tell y'all, people don't understand. We voted for civil rights. But who end up getting the rights? Oh, they encourage the civil rights, but the gay people and the white women is the one that reap the benefits of that. We got pushed to the back of the bus. Then it came back along and they talked about Obama. We got a black president. We voted like everything, didn't we? Obama voted for the gay rights, but what did he vote for our people? He didn't bring forth anything for our people.
Yeah, yes he did. Yes he did, Ima. He wanted the Most High people to be gay.
Yeah.
And you know who his vice president was?
Biden.
Oh, who?
pardon.
Joe? Sleepy Joe?
Smoking Joe Biden.
Yeah, but they got Joe on, they got him showing him on film saying that he didn't want, back in the day, he didn't want his children going to school with our children because he felt like that would bring them down to inferiority. The children were much more inferior than the white children were. Let's see. But,
so
you
got
know,
two racist old crackers in their 70s fighting for power in the most powerful nation on earth.
Over your life.
Well, see, you done something, no way. I'm just, I shared this with a sister today as well. I'm just the opposite. I love everything they're doing because they're doing what God put them in there to do, to destroy this nation. You know, I don't see anything to hold fast to it, too. I'm not trying to save America. As the word says, we would have healed Babylon, but she refused to be healed. But we're still holding on to this country in our hearts. We want this baby to survive so we can stay here. Hell no. That's how I go down. Things that she's got coming to her. Everything that she has gone abroad, all the pain, the bloodshed, the misery, the debauchery, everything that she has taken abroad to destroy nations, I ask that the Almighty magnified 1,000 times back on her head.
Whoa. You got our people trying to stand out there to block that. They don't want Babylon to go down. They don't want karma to touch America. Get out the way. Karma is going to touch America. Get out of the way. Karma is going to touch these people. When you trying to block the karma that's due to them, don't stand in the way of karma.
You're going to block the karma that the Almighty, didn't he say?
Oh,
yeah. He's going to turn around and put this back on his own head? Huh?
Exactly. You reap what you sow. America was built
on
blood.
That's
blood
exactly
for blood.
What you're going to go in. I can remember when we were children, at least I can remember when I was a child, and they used to love to have the cowboy and Indians at that time. That was the main thing
on
of
TV.
The day.
Yes.
Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke, have
wagon
gun, wheel travel, wagon train,
Allison.
The whole gamut. You see.
Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam?
And of course he can do some dirt. But you know, every time the Indians, the Native Americans, would come up to fight against the white man, oh, we was jumping on the bandwagon. You dirty redskin, you Indian, you know, here come the carrier. Hooray, hooray, hooray. That's because that's how deceived we were. Never did they show the Native Americans in the light that they were fighting for their livelihood, for their family, for their land. Instead, they made them look like they was the one going out scapping and shooting them down with arrows and everything. So they was no good redskin. And at the same time, they showed us chilling and grinning and, you know, shacking and whatever else they could show us and whatever bad life they could have, the master, huh?
No, Iman, no. They were too big to love the Tarzan. Get them jujus, Tarzan. Get them jujus.
And show us with the big lips, big eyes, and a bone in our nose, huh?
Even worse than that was Shirley Temple. She leading this big brother around. She got more courage than him. Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Own a good ship lollipop.
And we fall for that. We fall for that. We fell for it and we're still falling for it. We entertain them. We're their most valuable entertainers. They love to be entertained. we really need to read that scripture where the Almighty speaks about Babylon. She loved pleasure. And what we don't realize, we are living in the midst of Babylon, Egypt, Assyria, Sodom and Gomorrah. We're living all in all of that put together now.
In addition to fighting the conspiracy to destroy us as a nation by our own family, the Ishmaelites, the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites, we fight in that battle first and foremost, while we're confused in the midst of Babylon and Egypt and Assyria and all these other Greek and Roman cultures that are the melting pot of the Western world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, when you really stand back and you really get involved in the word of Yah, you'll see Yah did all of this. There's a reason why the Americas is not known as a nation. It's known as a corporation. And the reason why is because America's made up of many nations. And isn't it interesting, and it stands out like a sore thumb, but it's like we walk around as zombies, we don't hear anything. How is it that every time they refer to everybody, you know, the African-Americans, aren't we all supposed to be Americans? But when they speak of the other nations, they don't put it out there like that, put them out there like that. But every time they speak about us, we the African-Americans. Huh?
And people who have fought every war that America has fought.
Have begged to fight. Don't forget that. Begged to fight.
Didn't do them no good, though. Didn't do them no good, though.
If they came back and lynched, many of them wearing the uniform, didn't they?
You showed over to say, Ma. Didn't do them no good.
With their army shoes on, huh? Their military shoes on. It ain't military outfit. Lynch them, tar, feather them, that we are not seeing. And now we run around here talking about voting for America.
It's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, I like to read the word that your God told you, Israel. And it reads in this wise. And I'm reading from Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Woe to the rebellious children, says Yahuwah. They take counsel, but not of me. Huh? And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that you may add sin to sin. You walk to go down into Egypt, but you have not asked at my mouth, Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Huh? Because they are ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. That's what your white folks think about you, Israel. They love you to entertain them, but behind your back, you still a nigger to them. A lowlife nigga at that. In many of their movies, they can so blatantly tell you you're an animal. Don't give it to the animals. They're nothing but animals anyway. Huh?
When they call us animals, say thank you.
Say that again, Moray.
I said when they call us animals, say thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Because the animals are more connected to the Most High than we are.
But we know when they're saying it, they don't mean it in their life, Moray.
It don't matter.
I'm not going to give our people nothing else that's going to put them in a deeper sleep.
That shows we lack understanding. We think we hide in the animals, but we're not. When Yah calls the animals, they come. When Yah calls the animals and the insects, they come. He called them into Egypt, right? He called the frogs. Did they come?
Uh-huh.
Did they debate about it?
No.
He called the locusts. Did they come?
I think they voted on it, Cadre.
You think the locusts was debating whether they should come because y'all was calling them?
They took a vote.
They took a vote. Or they was waiting to follow some more ray. When the Most High called the flies to Egypt, did they come?
They took a vote.
Yes, they did.
Did they take a vote when they went into Noah's Ark?
Yeah, they took a vote.
Yeah, because some was left out, wasn't they? Some was left out. You know, you took two of a certain kind. They like, you got to take a vote. Who's going to make that? Yo, you can't make it. Y'all chose me.
Who the one that called the animals to the ark?
Most High. And they heard them, didn't they? No, they didn't call them.
Yeah.
So I said, they call your animal. Say thank you. What?
I had someone to tell me that today as well, that the Noah story, all that was a lie. Anybody believe that? They crazy as hell. Hey, how in the world are you going to get all the animals on a boat? So my response to them was, yes, I understand you, my brother. I understand what you're saying. Yes, it's crazy as hell if you believe that. Who would believe that that little old half a pound of flesh in your head controls every aspect of your body? A piece of meat. Who believe that? Who believe that two little glass balls of flesh, you know, that you can look through it, see everything. What makes them see it? What gives it sight? Who would believe that? Who would believe that you got an invisible thermostat in your body that makes sure your temperature stays at the correct level? Because if it gets too high or it goes too low, you got an alarm system, a built-in invisible alarm system to let you know something is wrong. Who believes some stuff like that? You got a rock up in the heavens, and you got a ball of fire in the heavens. It's been there for billions of years that it rotates just as they've been doing, as they were ordained and commanded to do. Never change the course. Do everything as they were designed to do. And yet the moon controls the tidal waves down here. It controls the woman's cycle. It controls the planting of the crops. Just a rock in the sky. Who would believe that? We don't know the wonders of our God. We can't even begin to embrace this majesty of this great power. We crazy as hell. And we're going to give all this glory, all this power to my son, man that came and died for the sins of the world. Huh?
And then, we put the Most High's limitations on us, so we think that he has to have limitations. Most I have no limitations. So in our mind, we figure everything has limitation. No, Most High does not have limitation. He said, my thoughts are not your thought, my ways are not your ways. So what you think is impossible is possible for the Most High. You can't see in your mind how he saved all the animals on an ark. That took 120 years to build, by the way. And the way they was living back in that time, they were creating great artifices. The megaliths that we see today, they can't figure out. So they had great skills. So you mean to tell me he took 120 years to build this thing, and you telling me it's not capable of carrying what the Most High told to be carried on it? And the fact that nations around the world have a similar story. So the flood is not mythological. And if it wasn't a flood, stop calling us Hamites. It was cursed. You can't have it both ways, right?
Can't be.
There was no ark. They want to call us Hamites, and we under a curse. Can't have it both ways.
Well, Cartrell, Ema, whatever animal was on that ship that y'all want on that ship was on that ship, and that's that on that. And a lot of them wasn't on that ship. So y'all called them. Whoever y'all want on that ship, they was on that ship, and that's good enough for me.
That's all that matters. We have yet to understand, Brother Yunsu. At the end of the day, it's all about Yah. This is his creation, and it's his to do with whatever we, what he want to do with it. You see, that's why we people talk about debating and where are we? Come on to this debate or whatever. Are we crazy? How are you going to debate the absolute? How can you debate your creator?
That's what Job is asking his friends. That's for sure. For what you read in Isaiah 30 mm-hmm. is a warning to our people. Get out of the way of the karma that's coming to Egypt. Stop trying to protect it. You're not going to hold it up. The judgment is coming. And if you stand there trying to protect it, you're going to get a whiff of it.
Now, they're going to get the full force of it just like Egypt.
Hey, Contrail.
Yeah.
You know, they had a rap song back in the day. Don't save them. They don't want to be saved.
I have people, quite a few, to post on my page, give me Jesus or give me death. I tell them, don't worry about it. Y'all going to don't have no problem accommodating you.
You're not letting go of that idol.
Nah.
Not at all.
And if they read it what we read it, what did Rachel take with her when she left her father's house? And what happened to her?
She died.
Okay. That should tell you something.
Yep. Well, Ema, I want to hear some closing remarks from you. I don't want to hear no closing remark right now. What I want to hear is Katria bring that lovely song. Then I want Ema to give me some closing remarks. Then Katria give me some closing remarks.
All right, Brother Yamsuf, I got a song for you.
Okay.
My brother, a contemplation of Asaph. Got to do some research to find out who this man is, Asaph.
Exactly.
Psalm
74. All righty.
O Elohim, why have you cast us off forever?
Mm.
Why did you anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes amongst the thick trees, and now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their heart, let us destroy them all together. They have burned up all the meeting places of Elohim in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. Ain't that the truth? No prophets, and we don't know how long before y'all comes to rescue us. Oh, Elohim, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. But Elohim is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces. You gave them as food to the peoples inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountains and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. This day is yours. The night also is yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Yah. and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect to the covenant, for the dark place of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return to shame. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Arise, Elohim. Plead our cause. Plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies, the tumult of those who rise up against you. Increase continually. And we bear witness to this every day. Yah's name is blasphemed. As long as they blaspheme in Yah's people, when they do that, they blaspheme Yah's name as well. And we know that they've got hold of our land, Yah's holy place, Yah's dwelling, and has been destroyed. So we ask Yah to rise up and not hold back his wrath on them. But we plead for his mercy, that he be merciful to us and remember us and save us and redeem us, because we are his property.
Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Ima Adora, love, what's your closing remarks?
My closing remarks, Israel, don't go out there and vote. Israel, instead of voting, do what your God told you to do. Obey him. Gather yourselves together, O nation. Get about this nation, because it's already been sealed with the stamp of the approval from Yah. It's a done deal. But for you, O house of Israel, while you got time, return back to your God with all your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Gather yourselves together as he has told you to. Repent. Turn from your wickedness. That's what your God told you to do in these lands of your captivity, and pray for the peace of the city so that things can go well for us. Stop listening to the teachers of man who can't save himself, so you know he can't save you. But seek the face of your God. Seek it with all your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And as he promised he would, you shall find him. He is your most valuable asset. Without him, we can't live, Israel. We're the valley of the dry bones. The only one that can give us life is our God. Return back to him. Praise him. Glorify him. Exalt him. Carry yourself in such a way that everyone will see you know it's something special about you. They will know that you're the Son of the Most High God, the living walking testimony of the words of the living God. So be good to yourself, Israel. Know that Yah loves you, and so do I. Praise him. Exalt him. Keep him exalted. Keep him on your lips. But love him more than anything else in your life. Love your God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ima Adora. Katria, my brother and friend.
Yes, sir. I'm just so thankful that the Most High has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We give thanks that he brought you forth for the Yamsuf, that we would have a platform to really get Yah's word out and to go through this treasure hunt, because it's really a treasure hunt. It's an open book test, mm-hmm. but a treasure hunt at the same time. And we've been uncovering a lot of treasure, spiritual treasure, mental treasure. We've been gathering wisdom, you know, of our ancestors. And I just hope and pray that the Most High allows us to continue on this platform. And even, you know, the skeptics that listen in and want to criticize, I hope they keep listening too, because we're trying to bring you the pure word of the Most High so that we could all, you know, get that redemption and salvation that the Most High has promised us. Because he's going to do what he said he's going to do. We just have to be on the right side of it. And we hope that we're providing the jewels and the treasure that causes our people to be moved in the right direction, because we've been moving in the wrong direction for at least 400 years now. So it's time to start, you know, changing course and moving in the right direction.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to dove back. I'm not going to piggyback anymore. I'm going to lamb back. I'm going to go back. I'm going to dove back. Or what do an Ema said. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Cartrell and Ema. I'm nothing without y'all. And I'm nothing without you, Ema, Hadora, or Cartrell. Because we're all in this together. There is no ego run amok. I'm nothing without you. And I hope you feel the same about me. Because I'm nothing without the listeners. And I hope they feel the same way about me. But I'm something, if y'all say I'm something, but I'm nothing if y'all says I'm nothing. And I just want to keep it real, on the real, talk for real people. Intense investigatory show, I want to say what y'all says, speak what y'all speak. And that's what I want to do. And that's what we all should want to do, speak what y'all speak and leave your private interpretations to yourself. And that being said, thank you, Ema Dora. Thank you, Cartrell. And thank you, fellow students. Come on back tomorrow. Let's continue in our studies. Let's continue in our intense investigatory studies. Let us not lean to our own understanding. Let us not get into our feeling and say, I feel like that's right. No, you need to know what's right, not feel anything, because we have been miseducated to go by impulses and feelings instead of the word of God. That's our problem. Stop going about your interpretation and leaning to your own understanding and your feelings. The Most High ain't asked none of us about our feelings. As Ema Adora rightly said and Katrina rightly said about the flies and the frogs and the locusts, he didn't ask about their feelings. He said, I need you to do something. And they did it. And like Katrina always alludes to the fact that animals are smarter than we are. Insects are smarter than we are. They follow orders. We lean to our own understanding, and thus we get ourselves into a world of woe and trouble with Yah. Stop leaning to your own understanding. May the Most High bless you. We love you, and we speak for the Most High speaks. That being said, listeners, we don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom. Good night.
to be.